The vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Moonsi, and alongside me again, the legendary coach, Brendan Sir. Coach, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Mo. Anxious to get back. So much to talk about in the NBA. It has been a wild, wild time here across the pond.
Absolutely. I was in meetings all day yesterday, and my phone was just going off and going off and going off with so many moves being made. The most shocking of which is the Milwaukee Bucks waiving Damian Lillard and stretching the remainder of his contract so that they can afford to sign Miles Turner, fresh off a finals appearance for the Indiana Pacers. Coach, what was your immediate reaction when you heard this news?
Well, you know, there's usually, Mo, in my 47 years associated with the league, there's never news that is shocking, that no one knew about. And this, there were two of them this year. The Luka Doncic trade was obviously the one that no one saw coming. And then the one yesterday, no one saw coming because everyone's been quietly speculating about Milwaukee, how they're kind of dead in the water. They have no moves to make. They don't have picks. They don't have money. And what are they going to do to try to keep Giannis in the fold? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they decide to waive a guy that is a 9-time All-Star who averaged over 25 points a game this year. But, you know, in the playoffs, in the first or second game, basically, you know, does another Achilles tendon tear. And they waived the guy with 2 years to go, have to pay him $113 million, totally guaranteed, which is a ton. There's never been a player, obviously, waived, owed that much money. And then in the NBA, we have a thing that you're allowed to stretch out the money when you waive someone, cut them. Waive means cut, that you can stretch it out for 5 years. And so that's what they're doing. So $22.9 million or something a year for 5 years.
Yeah, I think the rule is when you stretch a contract, it's the amount of years remaining multiplied by 2 plus 1. So he's got 2 years, $110 million remaining. So multiply by 2, that's 4 years plus 1 is 5 years. So they can stretch that 110, I think, over the next 5 years. So Damian, because people think the business is so cold. Like Dame had a blood clot issue, managed to fight his way back onto the court, then had his Achilles tear. Now he's cut from his team. But the good news for Dame is he's getting paid out $22 million a year for the next 5 years, plus his other contract, which he signs with whatever team he decides to sign with. So he's still getting paid in full. He's just not going to be on the Bucks.
Right. And the funny thing is that people close to him said it, the second year of his contract was not a guaranteed contract from the Bucks. It was, but he had what we call a player option where he decided whether he wanted to come back. He was not going to come back. Mm. He was going to opt out because he's going through a very messy divorce and he wants to be back near Portland where his children are. And so he is not enjoying Milwaukee living there because he has no family or friends. And he was going to opt out. So instead, add on $69 million to that contract that they are guaranteed to have to pay. So that made it even more. And then to use it on a player, you know, that, you know, two things. Shocking that Indiana wouldn't retain Miles Turner. Absolutely shocking. A player that had been with them his whole career because they didn't want to pay a luxury tax for the first time in 21 years. God forbid you want to win a championship. And then, you know, and then they let him go to a team that's basically a rival team he played in the playoffs 2 years in a row, I believe. So all that is very, very shocking. And so that's something that really took the league by storm yesterday morning, less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah, Miles Turner has been in trade rumors as long as I can remember. But after this finals run, you know, all the talk was about him staying in Indiana because he's so happy there. He's the leader of the team. And the one time there's no trade rumors about him, he ends up on a different team.
Yeah, the trade rumors were really a couple of years ago. And then all of a sudden they redid his deal, gave him a nice deal. And then all of a sudden he started to play great and really was a captain and indispensable team member. So that was, as you mentioned, a shocking revelation from that. And the people around the league are shaking their head that how ownership cannot be committed to winning, to let a, when you're starting five walk away, still in his prime.
Yeah, do you think it would have been different had Haliburton not torn his Achilles and he had the chance to go
Has
back
no
to the
bearing
final?
upon it. Has no bearing. You still have to proceed. You have to. Haliburton's a young guy. You only get in a position like this a couple of times. Indiana might never get back now. They might never get back
Yep,
the way the
because
league is. Yeah.
I used to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and how interesting it was having Giannis at the four and then a five in Brook Lopez who could protect the paint and stretch the floor on offense. And I used to say, like, aside from Miles Turner, who else is doing that for you on a high level? So maybe Milwaukee heard because they've went out and got Miles Turner to fill the Brook Lopez role as Brook Lopez signed a deal with the Clippers, who are loading up their retirement home full of aged former All-Stars. But how do you perceive this from a Bucks standpoint for Giannis in terms of the East is now wide open, but do you think that he would have rather waited for Dame to get back healthy and played with Dame, or do you think he'd rather have, because essentially you're paying Miles Turner 50 million a year. You're paying 22 to not have Dame and you're paying like 25 to keep Miles Turner, right?
Yeah, I mean, a luxury tax too. But, I think the big thing for them is they're not going anywhere with this team, the
No.
Bucks. They're going nowhere. And Giannis cannot be excited to play with this group. I don't think they're a playoff team
Wow.
in the East at all.
I mean, maybe just because the East is going to be so bad this
No,
year,
but I mean,
but
Atlanta's coming on,
yeah, they've been making some great
Atlanta,
moves.
Orlando's
Orlando,
coming
yep.
on.
Cleveland's still
Yeah,
there. New York got it. They have Mike Brown coaching them now, so.
I mean, and I, New York has the best team right now in the East, talent
Yeah.
wise,
Yep.
and so I mean, I think it was, both teams bet give them a D for that, and the Bucks, I would, they're like my credit cards. They just keep adding up and adding up and adding up, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to pay them off.
Well, the East is wide open next season because the best team in the East, the Boston Celtics, the best team in the history of the NBA, they are
Oh
going to
my
be without Jason
God.
Tatum, who tore his Achilles. You'll get used to the propaganda soon enough, coach. Don't worry.
Maybe I'm a free agent, remember?
But they have made some moves to shed salary to get under that second apron. They traded Drew Holiday back to the Portland Trail Blazers, who they acquired him from, in exchange for Anthony Simons, who's just and 2 second-round picks, who's making considerably less money than Drew. And then they also traded Kristaps Porzingis to the Atlanta Hawks, in exchange for Georges Niang, and it was kind of a three-team trade with Brooklyn getting Terance Mann involved there as well. So the Celtics are shedding salary. Do you see them shedding more salary in terms of Jaylen Brown, Derek White, or do you think they're just trying to make moves around the margins?
No, their goal is to get under the luxury tax so they can reset, because they've had what we call a repeater
Yep.
tax. And if you get so many, so they're trying to do that. I think it's very, very difficult, but I think they're really going to struggle because they had two centers that they could spend whatever they wanted on money-wise. Obviously, Al Horford, and Luke Kornet, and they're letting both of them walk,
Yeah, well, I mean,
which
Luke
is kind
Kornet,
of
well, he got
incredible.
41 million from the Spurs. Like, shout out to him.
Yeah, no, but I mean, he was deserving of it,
Absolutely.
and so you could have just, given this guy, kind of, he had bird rights, so you could have given him a 2-year deal with what we call LeBron's 1+1s. You didn't, but they didn't step up to the plate, and so right now I don't know who the heck's going to play center, but they will not get rid of Jaylen Brown at all. They will not get rid of Derek White at all. And I think, they're praying when, Tatum comes back that they have, three really, really good players, and, then they'll go from there. But it's a sad thing where it's gone,
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially with new ownership coming in. If you're not competing for a championship this season, if your best player's out with an injury, it does make sense to get under that luxury tax, the repeat tax, so that you can go
Well,
and get yourself another
they
ring.
won't be able to get under it. There's no way, in my opinion. They're 28. I think they're 218 million, and they have about five spots to still fill on their
No.
team. So
They
I don't
have,
see how they can.
no, I think they have 15 spots already filled on their roster now because they signed a
Well,
couple
then,
guys. They signed
yeah. Well,
Luke
then they're
Garza, they
definitely.
signed
Then
Josh
they're
Giddey.
definitely. Yeah, they're definitely not getting
They've got,
under
I think they've
then.
got more moves on the way. I think they have to make a few more moves to manage this kind of money that they've got going on.
Yeah, well, you can't get rid of those three. You can't get rid of Tate and Brown's contract and White's contract, or else you go out of business.
Another trade that happened, though, on the same day as the Porzingis trade was the New Orleans Pelicans sending CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second round pick to the Washington Wizards for Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and a 2025 second round pick. What do you make of that trade for? Let's start with a New Orleans perspective, because for the Wizards, you're just getting some veteran guys taking on their salaries, and it doesn't look like Jordan Poole and Sadiq were part of their future plans.
Yeah, what they're doing is, from Washington's standpoint, they're trying to gather expiring contracts. I think they have a ballpark of $110 million next year in expiring contracts to make them and Brooklyn and the Lakers potentially as teams that have a ton of money to spend on players. So that's what they're trying to do. The Pelicans, I think that's what they're trying to also, do some things that. They were trying to shed some money to get under the luxury tax and things. And so, problem I have right now with the NBA, and this is all 30 teams, has nothing to do with any particular team, is there's so many moves that are made at the trade free agency deadline that have nothing to do with basketball. It's all about financial stuff, and that's not the way to run a professional sports league. It really isn't. When you're saying that this guy, we're taking this guy in a trade, he can't play worth a damn, but we're going to take him because he fits financially. How the hell are you supposed to win? And that's what bothers me about it. So, and that's all 30. That's not a one-off team. So I think we're seeing a lot of that now.
Here's an interesting one. The Chicago Bulls sending Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers in exchange for Isaac Okoro. Once again, the Chicago Bulls failing to get any future assets for their players that they're trading away. I mean, it's kind of confusing to me because what I was hearing before is that the Cavaliers would have to attach assets to get rid of Isaac Okoro's contract from their books. And the Bulls just straight up swapped him for Lonzo Ball.
What I think they were trying to do. I don't know what the hell they're trying to do, either one of them. I think Lonzo Ball for Cleveland makes more sense because they get a guy that, when and if he plays any games, which he missed two full seasons and only played 35 games or whatever he played this year, not really well. He's a 6'6" guard. He can defend a little bit and stuff like that.
He can play make, and especially with losing Ty Jerome, he comes
Yeah,
in to fill that void
that's
off
what
the
they knew they
bench.
were going to lose Ty Jerome. So I think that was a big factor there. But again, a non-basketball move. And so I don't explain non-basketball moves.
No interest in talking about the Thunder trading Dylan Jones to the Wizards or the Hornets landing Colin Sexton from the Jazz in exchange for Yusuf Nurkic.
A good move for Charlotte to pick up a guy that can play.
Yep.
So I mean, so that's a good move on their part.
A really interesting deal was the Denver Nuggets trading Michael Porter Jr. and a 2032 unprotected first round pick to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for Cam Johnson. I
Yeah,
like that
so
move a lot for Denver.
Denver did an excellent job. They for the first time, they really I think Jokic, who they're going to offer an extension to in August, I think kind of gave them an ultimatum at the end of the season. Put some guys around me so it's not one or two guys against five. And I think they heard him loud and clear. And so they needed to get some players around him to increase the depth in their team. They did some, Michael Porter Jr. had kind of worn out his welcome there. So to unload his contract, they had to give an unrestricted first in 2032, I believe, to Brooklyn. So Brooklyn took a player with money to get an unrestricted pick in 32, maybe when they might be
Jokic
a
might,
very high lottery pick. So Brooklyn, I think, is really, Sean Marks and his staff there are really one of the best run teams now as far as long range planning, in my opinion. Them, OKC, and Washington seem to be doing it at a very high level.
And, Michael Porter Jr., obviously a very talented offensive player, but I think Cam Johnson gives them more defensively. Cam Johnson, the last 2 years in Brooklyn, shot 39% from behind the arc. But when he was in Phoenix, he was a over 40% shooter. Now he's going to have Jokic finding him for easy looks. He's going to be shooting the lights out and giving you more on the defensive side than Michael Porter Jr. did.
Cam Johnson's a better player, frankly, than Michael Porter Jr. And he's a terrific, as you mentioned, wide open shooter. And when you play with Jokic and Jamal Murray, you're going to get open shots. The problem was they were getting open shots against OKC, they couldn't make them. And so I think, you're going to, if you have Jokic, you're always going to get double teamed. So he's a, and he's such a great passer. So I think this and a couple of their other acquisitions were really beneficial for them.
They got Bruce Brown back on their roster, part of their championship team.
Yeah, Bruce has not been good, frankly, and hurt a little bit since he left there. But Bruce was a very good player there. And he's well liked there. He's a good guy. And so if he has anything left in the tank, that's a good pickup. But I think the best pickup for them outside of Cam Johnson was picking up big JV Valanciunas from Sacramento. Big pickup. They dumped off a guy, Saric, can't play, dead, unfortunately. A straight financial trade, for a guy that can really play at a high level as a backup. And occasionally they can play the two of them together.
I mean, Jonas Valanciunas had 2 years, 10 million a year left on his contract. Dario Saric has 5 million on his contract expiring this season, right? So a financial move for the Kings. But the Nuggets get killed in minutes that Jokic isn't on the floor. And I think JV is probably one of the most underrated bigs in the NBA, but also maybe the best backup they've had for Jokic in a while. And you talk about the two bigs in European basketball, you see Jokic playing alongside another big when he plays for Serbia. Obviously, Valanciunas is Lithuanian, but I think that's going to be a really interesting lineup combination as
Well,
well there.
if you're playing against Houston and they play Steven Adams and Sengun, I think you can see a lineup like that, where the two bigs are playing for part minutes of a game. But they're two. And when you're playing against someone like Brook Lopez and you're playing against the Clippers, I think with Zubats, I think you can see stuff like that. But really, they got an NBA center as a backup. That's the big thing. They really got a good center. They can shoot the three ball also.
Absolutely. There was a sign and trade for the Miami Heat who sent Duncan Robinson to Detroit in exchange for Simone Fontecchio. What do you think about this? For the Heat, they're in kind of a weird position because the East is open now, like we say. But I don't know if any of these moves are really moving the needle or that Bam and Tyler
I
Herro
don't
led
think they
team are
are. I
gonna.
think they're a team that's trying to what I call clean up their books a little bit, for the future. I think they knew they wanted to get rid of that contract anyway. Not shocked that Duncan Robinson got a deal. I'm shocked at the number he got.
Was it
Absolutely
98
shocked by
million?
that. $48 million, for
No,
3
40,
years.
sorry, yeah, 3 year,
I mean,
48.
just because in the playoffs he couldn't even get in the game for Miami.
But what I will say is, he has improved as a defender since earlier on in his
They
career.
didn't put him in the game. They didn't put him in the game in the playoffs against Cleveland. And that's a big thing, when it's really hard. And so I guess they're hoping that, they get a lot of open shots. They know they're losing Beasley. But you know what? Great job by his agent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wonder who his agent is because that is excellent business. Yeah, losing Malik Beasley is going to be tough for them, but they're getting Duncan Robinson, who is a career 40% 3-point
He's
shooter,
a terrific shooter,
can shoot the
terrific
lights out of the
shooter.
ball. It's good for
And a
Cade to have that
University of
spacing.
Michigan graduate.
What, Wolverines?
Yes.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah. And vice chairman of the team and president of the team is Arne Tellem, who's a University of Michigan grad.
That makes sense. It's all making sense now,
Maybe it's
coach.
an NIL deal, as we like to say in the States.
Which other moves have been catching your eye? I know there's a lot of, signings that we need to talk about, but Shea got his 4-year extension, $285 million with OKC, fresh off a championship. Shout out to him. Jakob Poeltl got a 4-year, $104 million extension with the Toronto Raptors. Another move we didn't talk about for the Nuggets is getting Tim Hardaway Jr.
I thought
Another.
that was a very, very good move for them. Another guy that can shoot the ball. He's in position. He's played in big games throughout his career. So I like that pickup. A very inexpensive pickup, but a good one.
The Sacramento Kings agreed a 3-year, $45 million contract with Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, it
What do
was
you
a
make
high
of this?
price for him, I thought. But you know what? He's a starting guard. He's going to be their starting guard. He gives them a really good starting five. As far as with Zach LaVine, Schroeder, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Sabonis. I mean, their starting five is good. They have some nice backups now. I mean, they've really improved their team. Schroeder, as you know from EuroLeague basketball, from when I say Olympic basketball, really, when he plays for Germany, he's a high level Olympic caliber
He'd
player, in
won the
my
World
opinion.
Cup.
Yeah, he's a very high caliber player, and he really plays hard, and that's what I like about him. And I think when you're rebuilding a team like they're trying to do with a new culture, new coaching, and all that stuff, I think one of the things you want to get is as many guys as possible to play very hard. It becomes contagious. And so, you got DeRozan, you got Sabonis, you got Murray. And now, if they all do it, Zach LaVine jumps on. And I think it really helps their squad in a big way. So I think that's a good move on their part.
Absolutely.
Biggest thing is they got a starting guard. They really needed one
Yeah,
after
absolutely.
Fox leaving, during the year.
Yeah. The Knicks have signed a 2-year deal with Gershon Yabusele, another European player.
I absolutely. And people laugh at me. I think the Knicks did is a great job. They
And
got
they got Jordan
Yabusele.
Clarkson after getting bought out
Yeah,
by the Jazz.
they've dollar for dollar value, they did as good as anyone in the league. They got Yabusele, who's a top flight, world class player, and when I say that, I mean a EuroLeague champion, a guy that's just tough as nails. When Philadelphia was in a tank mode this year, this guy showed up and played, and he played well. And I think it gives the Knicks depth in the front court that he can play four or five and just compete. And then Jordan Clarkson, I think the guy was born just shooting, making shots. So he's a perfect guy coming off the bench for the Knicks, who don't have a lot of shot makers other than
Yeah,
Brunson and
a
Cat.
massive upgrade on someone like Campaign, who was coming off the bench in a similar role last season.
Yeah, so I think it's a big time move. And with Clarkson, you can play him at two and three. And they have an unusual makeup in New York, in that now with Clarkson, they have Hart, Bridges, OG. They can all play two, three, four when they want to go small. And they just got basketball players, and that's what I like about it. I think they did a great job. Imagine if they had a coach, what they would do.
I think Mike
Or
Brown
maybe,
is very
maybe,
soon going to
maybe,
be
or
signing
maybe
with
they
the.
don't. Maybe they'll coach themselves. I don't know.
Do you have anywhere that you think DeAndre Ayton is going to end up because he got bought out by the Portland Trailblazers?
I thought there would be a stampede to get him. And my thing is, to me, he's got Lakers written all over him. They need a center. They need what I call, they didn't need Brook Lopez. They didn't need Valanciunas. They needed a guy that they can that Luka and them can and
Luke will make
Reeves,
his
who's a
life so easy.
who can and lob the ball and the guy gets dunks, and he can protect the rim a little bit. He can run the floor a little bit, and that he bought himself out of the contract. I think you can get him at a very, I would think, a cheap price.
It's interesting
That's where I'm
because
expecting him to go.
when he was a restricted free agent in Phoenix, it was the Indiana Pacers were the team that made him the big offer sheet. And he obviously
Correct.
had to re-sign in Phoenix because they matched the offer. But now the Pacers are in need of a center as well after Miles Turner walked out to go to Milwaukee. So there's possibility that Indiana could be one of the teams that looks at him.
I would be shocked. He doesn't fit their style of play now at all, the way he plays at all, because he can't shoot the ball like, Turner did. Turner was a very valuable player in their system. He's very cerebral in that. And Ayton's more physical, less cerebral. That's a very kind way of putting it.
Well, for the Lakers, LeBron opted into his $50 million player option, and then his agent came out.
Congratulations,
Then
Bronny.
his agent came out and made a statement of LeBron wants to go somewhere to win a championship, and I'm like, okay, you opted in. That's on you.
Kind of reminds me of someone saying, "You know what? You know, we just got married, but listen, I'm still looking around." You know, I mean, like, you know, or let's, you know, because you know, you sign a contract. He's as I mentioned the other day, I love LeBron. He's untradeable. He's untradeable as a player. There's no one in the NBA that can trade for him. And the Lakers are net taking back $53 million. So from that standpoint, he's untradeable. And he's going to be 41 years old in December. So that's why I say he's untradeable. He's still one of the 10 best players in the league. So what Mr. Rich Paul is suggesting, my humble opinion, is we would like possibly a buyout. Well, the last thing I'm doing is buying your ass
Opting
out.
into 50 million and then ask for a buyout is insane work. That's never
That's what I'm
happened.
saying, because the trade doesn't work.
Do you think
No.
there's any legs to a Karl-Anthony Towns for LeBron James move that a lot of people have speculated on?
No.
Why not?
Well, who's the Knicks going to have play center? Mitchell Robinson?
Mitchell Robinson, Gershon
No.
Ebisele.
No, not at all. What you can't do something for 1 year, because that's his lifespan, you know, as an NBA player, possibly 1 year. I don't see that. Plus, his whole business, and he is a major corporation, is all based in Los Angeles. His family's based in Los Angeles. Rich Paul and Bron are very, very smart, but you know, they have great businesses and stuff like that. Unbelievable respect and for them. But I listened to, I love the Steve Nash, LeBron, you know, podcast. I thought I heard something a month ago, but I was probably wrong. It was probably a dream of him about people chasing rings. So I kind of had a reflection on that. So why, you know, you're very smart. You understand the business. Why would you be worrying about chasing rings? Because you just said about not chasing rings, even though your whole career you did chase rings. I'm confused.
Yep. Do you know who I think has had maybe the best offseason so far? I really like what
Couple of
the,
people.
yep, I
Go
really
ahead.
like
I'll
what the
let you.
Houston Rockets are doing. They
Fabulous.
traded for Kevin Durant. They re-signed Steven Adams. They went and got Clint Capella as well. Then the underrated part that I think people overlook during the summertime is internal development. Amen Thompson's coming back better next year. Alper Şengün was an all-star last year. He's going to be better next year. And now that they have all these players on their roster, they have so much versatility with the lineup. If you think about the bigs they've got, you've got Steven Adams, who's a amazing offensive rebounder, sets brutal screens to get his teammates open. You've got Clint Capella, who can be that guy off the pick and roll, catching lobs, protecting the paint. And then you've got Alperen Şengün, who's more skilled on the box, doing his work. So there's so much versatility that they can do with those lineups. They extended Jabari Smith Jr. as well. So if you want to go super small ball, you can even play him at the five. But I think that Houston can roll out teams that just simply overwhelm opponents with size and physicality because of the lineups that they have now on the roster.
My philosophy in building championship teams is you need two of everything. Kind of like I called my Noah's Ark philosophy. You need two of everything. You need two shooters, you need two scorers, you need two rebounders, you need two point guards, etc. And that's what Raphael Stone, the GM there, has done. More and more players are getting injured during the season. They're covered themselves for injuries. But adding Durant as a shooter, they didn't have they had one of the worst shooting teams in the league for a good team last year. And now all of a sudden, immediately you change it. Plus, when you have someone like Durant, now your big people inside are better because you can't double team them. And you watch now with Jabari Smith and Durant playing together with Van Fleet and when and Amen Thompson and Sagoon, I'm telling you, they got some weapons.
And one of the best
They got,
coaches in the league as well, coaching that
and
roster.
he's, Ime is one of those guys. He's got great toughness and he's really going to be able to take them, I think, I think they are a team that OKC better worry about because these guys are tough and physical. That's the thing.
Absolutely. Another team that I like their moves is the Hawks. They got a Nickeil Alexander-Walker in a sign and trade with the Timberwolves as he was they couldn't afford to keep him around. But I really like what the Hawks are doing now in terms of kind
That
of
was
adding to their roster.
my other pick, Mo. I thought that the people, I thought the deal they did with the Pelicans, very subtle, but a really good trade in that, they got really great future considerations. I think they really are doing stuff to build up their team. I really am impressed by what they're doing down there. I really am. And I think the Hawks quietly with Porzingis, and I'm telling you, I think they really have a chance to make a, I mean, a, I think they can really jump. Were they a play-in team last year
Yeah,
that
they
lost
always
in the
kind
first
of
round?
hover around that kind of play-in area.
Yeah.
But we got to see if Porzingis can stay healthy, right? Like
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
the
but if he plays 50 games or so, 56, 50 to 60 games, ideally, but they, the biggest thing is they're getting back people that were hurt last year. I mean, so I think it's Jalen Johnson, one of the best young
He
forwards
might
in the
be their best
league.
player.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important that they don't extend Trey this summer. They don't need to put that guy's salary
Do you know
up
what I really
anymore.
like is now their closing lineups defensively. You can have Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson, Porzingis, and Okongwu out on the court. That's very difficult to score against. Like
Right.
that as a lineup defensively is insane. They also went and got Luke Kennard as well for some more shooting to come
Big
off the
time.
bench.
One, the best 3-point shooter maybe in the league from the guard position. He's up there consistently, not a one-time thing. He's up there and he's a great guy. He knows how to play. There was a little joke yesterday that, the team, one of their owners is Grant Hill from Duke. Their coach, Quinn Snyder, is a Duke guy. And now, you have Luke Kennard, another Dookie. So, pretty
And I
good.
mentioned, in terms of internal development, they also have the number one pick from just a year ago in Zachary Risacher, who, didn't
Tremendous
make
this year.
splashy headlines or highlights, but if you watch the Hawks in the second half of the season, he showed some real promise.
The guy can really score the ball, and he's really talented. He can pass. You can see the EuroLeague, the influence in his game. He's got a high level game. And the way they play an open court game, I think it really, really helps him. I think quietly they're putting a hell of a team together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing them. I'm looking forward to see Orlando and all sorts of other stuff. But I am looking forward to hopefully seeing more trades and craziness around the NBA. And Coach Sarah and I will be back soon with more to discuss because there's a whole long list of other guys who sign in different places that we haven't spoken about yet. But we'll get to that as the offseason continues to roll on. Before we get out of here today, though, Coach, anything else that's caught your eye that you want to talk about today?
No, I think what happens now is, I think it's Sunday, July 6th is now when you're allowed to sign contracts and make trades that were done during the drafts all be finalized. So we'll see some things. We'll see some three-way trades that, players, teams decide to trade this player for this player. Now all of a sudden they find out they can work with another team financially to make it better, maybe even pick up a draft choice. So we'll see a lot of those three-way trades as things are going through with the really smart teams, the Brooklyns, the Washingtons that have some cap space that they'll take advantage of it and they'll make some money. And by making some money, I mean of draft choices for the future.
Future
And
assets.
that's great, great business on their part.
Absolutely. But yeah, that was a little quick recap of the craziness that's been going on around the NBA over the last couple of days. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Hit us in the Discord with anything else you want to hear us talk about. And Coach Sarah and I'll be back. As Coach said, there's still more moves to be announced and tinkered with here and there. So we'll see how that affects things around the league. Coach, appreciate you for the insights as always. You guys already know, check out the Coaching You podcast and the Coaching You app. When are you off to Vegas, Coach?
A week from tomorrow, the
week from
10th, we
tomorrow.
have our clinic on July 12th and 13th with 13, 14 NBA coaches as speakers. It's a big time event. It is basically our unofficial convention of the NBA in Las Vegas, where all 30 teams send all their coaches, all their front office people, the NBA is their entire staff there, board of governors, which are the owners, meet there. It is a true convention for the NBA. It used to be, you know, we used to have one, but now each team has over 500 employees. Can you imagine that? And when I started in the league 47 years ago, I think in the Hawks, Atlanta Hawks, we had 5 employees.
That's wild.
Absolutely incredible.
Yep.
We had a general manager,
now.
A PR director, a sales guy, and a finance guy. And then we had 3 coaches. That was it. The whole organization.
That's insane. That's insane, because the social media now, team now has more people than that.
Now there's NBA teams that have between 20 and 40 analytics people alone, which is insane.
Crazy times, you know. Coach. Crazy times.
There's actually analytics people that thought of that, hey, it's really good to take this guy that's an all-star and pay him $113 million and like say, and they're all high-fiving each other afterwards. Yeah. Like, look how good we did. If they want to do that for Mo, if they want to do that for you and me, I would love them to do it.
Man.
Love them to do it.
Sign
I'm a willing participant. Yes.
Sign me up any day. But until next time, appreciate you guys tuning in. Subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until we see you again, get buckets.